This is All Things Considered on KNKX. I'm Ed Ronco. This is a very stressful time for parents in Western Washington. They're facing a school year that in most districts will begin with no in-person instruction. So that means parents or caregivers who work outside the home are scrambling to figure out some kind of childcare if they can find something they can afford. Joining me to talk about the childcare conundrum is KNKX Youth and Education reporter Ashley Gross. Ashley, hi.
Hi, Ed.
What kind of concerns have you been hearing from parents as they face a school year that's going to begin with remote learning?
Wow, where do I start? I mean, families had already dealt with distance learning in the spring. But I think that the big difference is that in the spring, the governor's stay-home order was in effect, and only the people classified as essential workers were working outside the home. And there were childcare organizations that provided care for children of essential workers, you know, nurses, grocery workers, first responders. For everyone else who was staying home, they tried to help their kids do distance learning, at least somewhat, and many were balancing that with working from home. Pretty much all the parents I've spoken with say it was very difficult, but they were just trying to get through it so we could get the virus under control.
And what about now?
Well, as we know, the virus is not under control, so most schools are not reopening in person. At the same time, the state has restarted the economy somewhat, so more people are having to go back to their jobs. So that means that parents, especially ones who have young kids, are trying to figure out what to do with their children when they would normally be at school for 7 hours.
And you've been reporting this out. You've been talking to some of the parents. What are some of the things they're considering?
Well, some may ask a relative or a grandparent to watch the kids. And other parents are looking into childcare programs. That's the situation for Tabitha Sierra. She works for Boeing and has to go back to the office in a couple of weeks. Her husband is a plumber, so of course he works outside the home. And they have a daughter in third grade and a son in second grade in Seattle. She's signed up on a couple of wait lists for childcare, and she also asked the organization that runs the aftercare program that her kids normally attend.
I have yet to hear back even if they have a plan. And so school's supposed to be starting in a little less than a month. I'm probably going to have to take the first couple weeks off of, you know, take vacation or something until I get something figured out.
That sounds really, really stressful. What will it cost her if she gets her kids into one of those childcare programs?
She's figuring that it will likely cost about twice as much as she normally spends on after-school care. And that's a big burden. It's not something her family had budgeted for. Now think about what a huge change this is to our system. It's completely turned upside down. And what's frustrating to Tabitha Sierra and a lot of parents is that remote schooling presumes that there's an adult there who can manage the children getting on their Zoom calls and doing their homework.
It's like, okay, so I'm pretty much being told that I have to quit my job so I can teach my kid when I pay taxes for the state to do it for me.
This gets into really sticky questions of what school is. Is it essentially state-funded childcare, or is it a system of instruction that does not need to be done in person? That's what families are being told now. But you can't get around the fact that younger kids need an adult there to help them do all of this. And for perhaps a couple thousand kids in Seattle, that will probably wind up being childcare workers employed by places like Boys and Girls Clubs of King County, the YMCA, or another organization called Launch.
Are those programs then prepared to help kids with their remote learning?
They say yes. I spoke with Angela Griffin, executive director of Launch. They normally operate aftercare programs at Seattle public school locations. Now they're part of a coalition of childcare programs asking the district for more classroom space and janitorial services so they can offer more care for kids during school hours. Griffin says during distance learning in the spring, her staff helped students do their homework packets, and now they're preparing to help get kids on their online classes.
We're trying to make sure that we can provide a support similar to what a parent would be expected to provide during that time.
But all of this is going to be expensive. The health and cleaning protocols add to the cost. And then if someone tests positive for the virus, the center has to shut down for 14 days. Griffin says Launch has only had one case of someone testing positive, but that closure does come with a financial cost.
We've committed to continuing to pay our employees when that happens. We've, you know, committed to those who have paid to hold their tuition, you know, in balance until they're able to come. And so you know, that's where when we're looking at our financial models, we're trying to determine, like, what can we really afford?
Yeah, it sounds like they're trying to do kind of their own number crunching. Is there any help for low-income families to afford this kind of care?
Well, there are state child care subsidies for low-income families, but a lot of families are just above that threshold. Griffin says child care organizations are looking to philanthropies or businesses to provide assistance. And U.S. Senator Patty Murray is pushing to get billions of dollars from the federal government for child care. Groups such as Launch and Boys and Girls Clubs do offer scholarships, but of course, that likely will not stretch far enough to meet the need.
Yeah, I mean, what you're describing doesn't sound like there are any kind of perfect answers here. And I imagine that if the programs can't serve all the families who need child care, some parents might have to leave their children home alone. Are they concerned about that?
Yes, it is a real concern. Older siblings are often having to babysit their younger siblings. Deanne Puffert is chief executive of Child Care Aware of Washington. That's a statewide child care resource and referral organization. She says some families may even make the tough decision to leave younger children home alone during the school day.
I do worry that there could be, due to untenable decisions, a choice could be made, hoping that your 10-year-old's ready to really watch the 6-year-old all day. And I worry.
And she raises a good point. How would kids in that situation manage their own online schooling? Not to mention that school this fall is going to be more like regular school. There will be grades and attendance requirements. So a 10-year-old home alone and struggling to get online for classes could be penalized academically.
You know, one other thing this discussion raises for me is how childcare is even still operating, even though schools will be remote. I mean, doesn't that pose a transmission risk? And the people who work there, how do they feel about being put into contact with children?
Well, you're getting into some really sticky questions here. The Department of Health says that childcare is an essential service and that the need for it has only increased as the state reopens in phases. And the health department says its protocols around physical distancing, symptom monitoring, and hand washing reduce risk. So far, it does not seem like King County has experienced any big outbreaks connected to childcare programs. Public Health Seattle and King County says that there have been 20 outbreaks involving childcare facilities from mid-March through July. Those involved a total of 11 children and 44 employees.
Okay, so some cases, but not necessarily, I guess, enormous numbers.
Right. But I did ask Deanne Puffert that question about how child care workers feel right now being on the front line when teachers will work remotely. She says it's a contentious issue.
Many child care providers take a lot of pride in being essential workers and that this is part of their community contribution, that they take these sorts of risks. Then other people are saying, well, this doesn't feel so fair.
What she's describing there sounds like the same kinds of stresses facing other frontline workers, people at grocery stores, transit workers, things like that.
Right. But here we have what's essentially a substitute workforce taking on some of the duties normally performed by public school employees, and they earn less money. And they're coming in contact with more people, putting themselves at risk for possible coronavirus exposure.
Mm. Thank you so much for this reporting, Ashley.
You're welcome.
Ashley Gross is our youth and education reporter. This is All Things Considered on KNKX.